This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
And action! Welcome to the April edition of Pat and Mike's Movie Club. Oh, Pat, welcome back to the film set.
Oh, it's too good. I do have a little complaint, though.
We don't usually start with complaints.
Yeah, my trailer didn't have enough blue assorted M&Ms, so I'm going to have to insist on another $2 million payout for my role.
Oh, just because we didn't give you M&Ms in your trailer?
Yeah, it was in the clause.
Wow, the Santa Claus or the M&M clause?
Both, actually. We're currently on production of the M&M Santa Claus starring Kid Rock.
Hey, I gotta say, I've been really enjoying the movie clubs. Like, look at these movies I've always wanted to watch. We had Now You See Me.
Now You See Me,
we
yeah.
We had Her, The Mummy, and this week, wow, I have a lot to say on this one. I know you do too.
Mike, I need to be frank with you. I love this movie. Like, I cannot express enough how much I love this movie that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and it is the 2001 film Freddy Got Fingered. Let's get into it.
Cheers, hop in.
LeBaron.
Bet your boots, it's LeBaron.
Look, it says number one son in the license plate. That's me, I'm the number one son.
It's never easy to let go.
You make your daddy proud. You hear me?
I'm going to make you so proud.
You make your daddy proud.
Proud. Get the hell away!
Are you really excited about starting to work at the sandwich factory tomorrow?
Hello? Can you hear me? There's probably people at the factory that have been making cheese sandwiches their entire lives, and they're gonna look at me,
look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
And they're gonna call me a loser!
Ooh, you can't hurt me! Not with my cheese helmet!
Hello?
All right, Pat, Freddy Got Fingered was directed by comedian Tom Green, released in 2001. It stars Tom Green, Rip Torn, Marissa Coughlin, Eddie K. Thomas, Harland Williams, and various other people. Like most films, there are various other peoples. And
that is true.
I don't even know where to start, but I guess I'll just give my context on the film.
Yeah,
because,
totally.
Like, this movie for me has always been a movie that, like, I feel like everyone knows this movie exists. Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, Freddy Got Fingered.
Like, yeah, and particularly like of that generation too, like Gen X, Gen Y.
Yeah, yeah. And I have never had, like, I've always been like, oh, one day I guess I'll watch that. But I've never known anything about it. I've always known it had some degree of notoriety for yeah. something, but I didn't just know any details on that.
To say the least.
I actually have no real idea of who Tom Green is. And
well,
I went into this film pretty blind. I assumed the film was graphic or sexual in nature based on the title. And I also always thought the title Freddy Got Fingered was quite explicit in a way that I don't know if you could get away with using the word fingered in a movie title today.
Well, there's a lot of things that they did in that movie which you really couldn't get away with today. But Mike, having a deep love for this movie, I also have a deep love for the brainchild behind this project, and that is Canadian comedian Tom Green. Oh, Mike, so aside from this movie, do you know anything about Tom Green?
Well, I'll go into my only real thing that I want to say about him.
Yeah.
And this might actually detour just quickly from what you want to say, but the only context that I have on Tom Green is this.
Sometimes you want to get on TV and just let loose, but can't. But it's cool for Tom Green to hump a dead moon.
So basically, in the Eminem song, The Real Slim Shady, he references this film, I believe.
He does.
When he says,
he references Tom Green, yes.
Okay, so he says, sometimes I want to get on TV and just let loose, but can't. But it's cool for Tom Green to hump a dead moose. Now, I love Eminem. I know all the words to that song. I have always sung those lyrics.
Yeah.
But I have never had any idea who Tom Green is or why he was humping a dead moose. And now I do know what that refers to.
Oh, my. Well, allow me to give the context. So, yeah, if you're unaware, Tom Green, as I said, Canadian comedian, got his start on public access television in Canada, where he had the Tom Green Show, which was a bit of like a variety, a prank show, before he hit it off and he made it big in the US, appearing in movies such as Road Trip and Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Where he went on to meet his then fiance Drew Barrymore.
Yep.
And oh, the Tom Green show is an absolute, like, it's a message in a bottle of
I think you mean a genie in a bottle.
Genie in a bottle. Yeah. Lightning in a bottle.
Because a message in a bottle could be anything. Like a genie, you're getting three wishes. Yeah. So it's like, I think it's inherently good. What you meant was, yeah, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Totally.
But you could. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. Okay. In metaphor wise, it's not Metaphor Club. That's a different show. So
that's next week.
We never promised to talk about metaphors. No. Or know about them.
But yeah, no, this was an absolute like slice of the time that was like the late 90s, early 2000s. And, the Tom Green show, like, so Tom Green's humor has always been very weird and out there and I guess
crude,
very crude. And, he wasn't well appreciated at the time. And I think I have the very firm belief that if he was around today in his peak, he would be seen at the same level as someone like Sam Campbell, someone like Eric Andre, you know.
Absurdist kind of black comedy.
100%. Like, for example, one of my favorite bits from the Tom Green show on its MTV run was there's three in particular. The first one, it was just a quick sketch. Sorry, a prank rather, called Undercutter's Pizza, where he's going up to some house that has like a pizza delivery and he's got like a blank pizza with him and a toolbox with all these ingredients. And he says, hey, we're undercutters pizza. We're undercutting the competition. So it's like, okay, what pizza you got? You got meat lovers. Great. All right. I'll put sauce on. I'll put the meat on. There you go. And how much are you charging? Great. I'll charge you half the price.
That's so funny.
And then he did two other specials as well. He did the Monica Lewinsky special where he actually got on Monica Lewinsky, to which I'm pretty sure most of the audience will know. But if you don't know, had a bit of a scandal in the Clinton era.
Well, was she the one who he did not have sexual relations with?
He did not have sexual relations with that woman.
So can I take
woman?
You back to the, yeah. Do you know in like the mid 2000s, there was a program called LimeWire? Are you familiar with LimeWire?
Yes.
It was where you used to download songs and it was like piracy before like the Pirate Bay and torrenting.
Classic. I'm pretty sure my mom got a virus using that program.
Yeah. You'd download like lo-fi MP3s and shit In 10 minutes, it'd take you to download Boulevard of Broken Dreams, right? And sometimes you would download something and it wouldn't be Boulevard of Broken Dreams. It would just be Bill Clinton going, my fellow Americans, I would once again like to remind you that I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And it was just, that's how all millennials were exposed to the Bill Clinton sex scandal.
Man, how's that? Imagine finding out through LimeWire. I wish. That's the one thing I missed out on. Like,
what, finding out about Bill Clinton getting a blowy from Monica Lewinsky from LimeWire?
Allegedly.
Actually, it didn't happen. He said it's his words.
But no, really interesting. So at the time, Monica Lewinsky was getting slammed by the media and by like the culture. And Tom Green was one of the few people to actually give her a platform and respect her. And the special itself is quite funny. They just go and do stuff together. They go and visit like, I think one of her mates, like a family member. They go to like the mall and stuff. And they don't mention the scandal once.
Mm.
And another special as well, Tom Green was actually diagnosed with testicular cancer in 2000, and he underwent surgery to remove one of his testicles.
Oh,
and brilliantly, wow. He filmed the whole thing, his whole graphic surgery, and released it as a special on MTV.
Because it sounds like he's got like Jackass kind of vibes.
Oh, totally. He influenced people like Jackass, Eric Andre. He was like one of the most prolific absurdist comedians of the time.
I gotta say though, like, so you could see his testicle being taken out of his body.
Yeah, it's actually in the movie.
I don't want, in what?
It's in Freddy Got Fingered.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
We'll get into that bit later.
Well, I gotta say like, yeah, I mean, this absurdist style of comedy, because the movie itself, oh no, the one thing I actually wanted to say was, I was confused, right? Because when I saw him in the movie, he puts on the carcass of a dead horse, right? And I was like, oh, so this is what Eminem was talking about.
Yeah. In
his song. But I then noticed that Eminem song came out in the year 2000. This movie came out in 2001.
Yes.
So then I was like, what? And then that song, the real Slim Shady, is the credits song for this movie.
It is. So a little background on that. Yeah. So before this movie came out, Tom Green, he actually started out, he did rap and other comedy music starting out in his career. And around the time of the Tom Green show, he released a song called The Bum Bum Song, brackets, Lonely Swedish. Okay. And in the music video, he wears a superhero costume very similar to what Eminem was wearing in the music video for Real Slim Shady, which that was he was parodying. And
wait, are you saying Tom Green was parodying?
No, Eminem was parodying Tom Green.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah. And like there's the lyrics, you know, like
my bum is on your lips. My bum is it that?
Yeah, that one. I'm trying to remember the exact lyrics. Like pretty much. Yeah, there's a line in particular where it's like, my bum is on the cheese. My bum is on the cheese. If I'm feeling lucky, I'll get a disease. So just an absolute like absurd nonsense
song.
That's
the Tom Green song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I never would have known Eminem was parodying the Tom Green song in that song.
No, 100%. And,
but my question was, how did Eminem reference this movie if this movie came out after the song?
He was referencing the song, which came out before the movie.
He was referencing Tom Green's song?
Yes.
In that, does he hump a moose?
I don't know if he humps a moose. I think he's just kind of commenting on his just absurdist humor.
Yeah, no, but do you get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying.
In the movie Freddy Got Fingered, he like humps the dead moose. In the real Slim Shady, Eminem references that scene.
Yeah.
But that movie came out after that song.
Yeah, I don't know if that, I don't know if Tom Green was trying to reference Eminem with the moose bit or if that was from like a sketch that I haven't seen. But yeah, no, I think my guess is, and I'm probably wrong, someone sound in. But
so you're saying Eminem didn't reference the movie. It was just.
No.
So you're saying Eminem just wrote that lyric with no meaning, being like, oh, Tom Green would do this. And then Tom Green has gone and done that in this movie.
I believe so. I could be wrong, but that is my theory. But a lot of media projects have parodied Tom Green. I'm pretty sure there's a Family Guy cutaway gag where they refer to him just being absurdist and they show him in a tutu sucking like a cow's teat.
Yeah, okay. The movie itself has such a bizarre premise. It's basically this guy who isn't Freddy. Like I always just assumed Freddy was the main character, but it's-
No, he's Gordy.
He's Gordy. And Gordy's brother is Freddy, his young brother. And it's like, in a weird way, I guess it's like this, maybe why because I really liked this movie. And
Really?
I understand that at the time it came out, everyone hated this movie and it was regarded as one of the worst films ever made.
Absolutely.
But what I think I liked about it is it's a really, this guy's 28 in the movie.
Yeah.
He's age 28.
He's a 28 year old man. He can't even eat a cheese sandwich at his home.
I don't know if this was in the intention because I do think a lot of it is just like crude comedy, but
100%.
It does feel like this weird, in a weird way, this examination of like what it means to be a man.
Deeper. Everyone just thinks it's like a silly poo poo bum movie, but it's so much deeper.
Yeah, because the whole thing is like he wants to follow his dream of being a cartoonist.
Yes.
His dad like is not proud of him and ashamed of him and wants him to succeed. His brother is like the picture perfect child who works at a bank, I think, and like wears a suit. And he goes out and tries to follow his dream and it just doesn't work. But in the end, he finally reaches his dream. But his whole thing is he wants to make his dad proud. And I genuinely thought thematically it was really relatable.
Yeah.
Even though it was sort of shrouded in this crude, absurdist, like just sometimes nonsensical stuff. Like you said, the cheese sandwich thing and humping the dead moose and all of this stuff.
100%. This movie was introduced to me through an old podcast I used to listen to called the Pizza Party Podcast, which ironically was about cartoons and animation. And this movie, the main reason that they were so fascinated is because this movie itself is about someone who wants to be an animator and like make cartoons. And boy, was I in for something. Cause like, just like going off the top of my head, I didn't think I had to rewatch this movie, but I thought, I'll just put it on the background just in case. And Mike, I'm so glad I did. Reminded of masterpieces. Like within like the first 10 minutes, you see him like tug off a horse.
Yes.
trying to find this person by wearing like a British, like, you know,
police officer.
British Cockney police officer uniform with the hat.
And then he finds him and he takes his hat off. He's like, I'm not a cop. I'm actually not a real cop. But then one of the funniest moments where like the horse thing happens very quickly. He starts actually like touching a horse's penis and jerking it off. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. Because I went in blind. The second thing that I just thought was hilarious is when he's back at home and his friend has the incident on the skating half pipe.
Oh my God.
And his friend like snaps his leg and you can see the bone and it's just this really graphic, gory thing.
Oh, so gross.
And then it just sort of like, then Gordy just starts putting his mouth up to it and licking it. And then you're just like, what? It's just chaotic.
Pure chaos. And just Rip Torn as well, playing his dad.
Yes.
Just being, like you're saying, very disapproving, you know, like yelling at, you know, shut up.
Yeah. And I guess his dad is like abusive, but you kind of don't care because he's right. Because like Gordy is such a dropkick who just is. I mean, I'm not sure if this was intended because of when this came out, but like you could read this film now and maybe make an argument that Gordy, the character, might be like on the autism spectrum or might have ADHD or something like that, which honestly I think in the time it was made, it was just like, no, it's just funny for him to be like this.
Oh, totally.
But I think you could read it like that. But I think it's problematic. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
No, well, obviously there's slurs in the movie that like we'd never say today.
There's a lot of slurs.
To say the least.
It's not massively misogynistic.
No, I think there's some like really strong female characters in this movie.
Compared to like every other movie on it. I guess like Now You See Me, I felt like Woody Harrelson's character was it Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, just
was
hitting on.
Very misogynistic. And then in The Mummy, it was just like, this one I was like, for a movie so crude, it isn't really like objectifying women, which a lot of movies of that time
100%.
Did.
I mean, if anything, we see like, you know, we see a physically disabled woman, you know, who's a rocket scientist, but also works in a hospital.
Yeah.
And then we see like, you know, Gordy's mum, you know, I guess escape her relationship with his dad and then goes on to date Shaquille O'Neal.
That's right. At the end, he's with Shaquille O'Neal.
She's funny.
And I guess we also should bring up, I mean, cause I guess you're like halfway through the movie and you're just like, why is the movie called Freddy Got Fingered? Because you've been introduced to the character Freddy, but you just like, you know, I guess like at that point, there's no reason for the movie to be called that until they're in a family counseling session.
Yes.
And Gordy just comes up with and makes up and falsely accuses his dad of like, and this is a sensitive topic, but in the movie it's played for comedy.
Yeah.
So let's just be sensitive. But like he accuses his dad of molesting his younger brother.
Yes.
Which like isn't funny, but in the context of the movie, it's pretty funny. Like, do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. Of course. Like, and also I guess in a post Me Too era, you probably wouldn't be making a comedy where you're alleging that your father, like, you know, sexually abused his son.
Yeah.
But 100%. Within the context of the movie, like that... I love that scene.
I think it's like, it's the Michael Scott kind of factor where like,
yes,
it's funny because you simply cannot believe that it's happening. Like you're just like, no, he didn't just say this.
100%. Like,
and it just comes out of nowhere as well.
It does. And not only that, but like Tom Green just takes it to 11 where like Gordy just goes, he's a molester.
Yeah.
He's a child molester.
Yes.
And then just like smashes the window open and jumps out.
That's the level of absurdity like you're dealing with. But I think one thing I wanted to bring up from an Australian lens, right?
Yes.
Is one of the most iconic Australian television shows of all time, I would argue, from 07, which was 6 years after this movie, Summer Heights High.
Yes.
There is a plot point in Summer Heights High in which Jonah does the exact same thing to his dad.
Oh my God, he does.
In a attempt to avoid doing his English assignment.
He does.
He accuses his dad of touching his dick. And there's that. It's honestly... it's one of the funniest scenes of all time. And he's like, oh, just my dad touched my dick or something. Right? It's very funny because his dad is just like this massive guy who's like, I thought you fucking did something wrong. What the fuck am I doing? And part of me actually wonders if Chris Lilley got that idea off this movie?
That's a great question. I mean, I think regardless, we can both agree Tom Green was way ahead of the time, not just comedically, but like...
Because even Chris Lilley works in that absurd territory, not to 100%. That extent, but like...
He's in that same world.
I reckon, like, I mean, it's a huge call to make, but I do think Chris Lilley probably saw this movie and was like, oh, that's funny, and then thought... Jonah would have seen that movie. Like, the character would have seen the movie.
Oh, my... Wow.
I reckon it's this thing of, like, Jonah saw that movie and came up with the idea to do it.
Wow. From
that
movie. What
that's
a theory.
That's my headcanon.
Mike, Mike, I just got an email from Princess Pictures. We're being sued for slander.
Oh, no. That's not slander. I'm fine if Chris Lilley... Like, no. I think it's funnier if Jonah didn't just come up with it himself. He saw it in a movie.
That's such funny. A great theory. But, yeah. And I guess throughout the movie, you progressively see Gordy do a lot of absurdist stuff, such as wearing a scuba diving gear in the shower, you know, claiming he's found treasure by holding soap on a rope.
And then his dad throws it in the toilet, so he goes into the toilet. And then you hear Rip Torn just go, "What are you doing in my scuba gear?"
One of my favorite bits that I still quote to this day is the backwards man, where where you see Tom Green in this room and he's wearing this suit but backwards, so he's like the button up and like tie side is on his back.
You don't have to explain
and
it.
He just goes, "I'm the backwards man. I can walk backwards fast as you can. Just pure absurdist." And then when Rip Torn's like, "What are you doing?" Like, Tom Green walks up to him, but like from behind.
And then he's like, "Oh, I got a job." But he didn't get a job.
Oh, man. And then, I think, honestly, the most underrated moment in the whole movie is like, so basically in the end, he ends up, at the start of the movie, he tries to go to this animation studio and just try and sell his cartoon. Yeah,
Davidson?
Is it
Peter Davidson? Because that made me think of Pete Davidson.
Yeah, it was a name like that. And and they're like, "Okay, the drawings are good, but like you need heart, you need a story, and like, you know, come back and like pitch another idea."
Yeah.
And he goes back and he marches in and he, you know, ends up pitching this movie called Zebras in America. Yeah. To which it's like loosely based off his family.
Yeah.
And he ends up selling he sells a cartoon for $1 million.
Yeah.
And he spends he pretty much spends the money on three things. The first thing that he spends it on is a helicopter to go and see Betty, the disabled rocket scientist.
She in the movie has an obsession with sucking his dick, which
oh my god!
And he's like, "Oh my god! Oh, we've only been on 2 dates, but you've sucked my dick 2 times. So that there's 100%." Dick suck rate. Maybe we should go on a date that's not dick sucking.
And also, she's really into him like smacking her legs.
Yeah, yes. Sorry to interrupt, but a plot point we should examine.
We haven't. That's the thing. There's so much that's happened in this movie. We haven't explored it. But so the first thing he spends it on is a helicopter. And then the helicopter goes up to like her window and he's like, Betty. And he's in the helicopter with what's it called? The speaker thing. The
megaphone. Yeah.
And he's like floating in the helicopter. Then he starts like flapping his wings, going like, which is so funny. And then he lands on the roof. And then the second thing that he spends money on is jewels. He goes to Betty. He's like, "They're jewels, Betty. They're jewels. I got them for you." And then she's like, "Gordy, I don't want jewels. I just want to suck your dick."
It's so weird.
And then the third thing he spends his money on.
And this is the grand finale.
It
does descend into like more and more absurdity like with that. But then also Freddie ends up getting taken away and living with other children who have been like
victims,
my God. Which is weird.
That's the thing. There's so much that happens in this movie. It's impossible to keep up.
And as you said, the mom ends up being married to Shaquille O'Neal, which is so random. But yeah,
the third thing he spends his money on is that he temporarily paralyzes his dad into a coma. And
does he pay for that to happen?
I think, movie, he does it himself, but he would have had to pay for the gear and everything.
Yeah, but does he he shoots him with a dart gun or something, doesn't he?
Basically, he breaks into his own home and with x-ray goggles and he goes up to his dad. Like he's Zero Dark Thirty or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he shoots him in the neck with a dart. And then Rip Torn's character just goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And then he pays a company to disassemble the whole house with his dad still in it. And then transports the whole house to Pakistan,
yeah.
Which is a throwback to another line where Rip Torn's dad, being the, you know, the crazy dad, says,
yeah.
if this were Pakistan, you'd be sowing soccer balls. And
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
He's and so he does it.
But which is a dad's like kind of way of being like, look how good you've got it, kid.
Exactly.
You know? But he misunderstands it.
100%. And so Gordy's like, we're here, we're in Pakistan. But also, and the house is on a rod.
Yeah. The construction worker goes, why don't we, it will be cheaper to just build the exact same house in Pakistan. He's like, no, we have to do it like this. With the $1 million he got, I don't think he understands that he was given the $1 million to fund the cartoon he wants to make. I think he just thinks he got $1 million.
He defrauded an animation studio.
Yeah. So it's on a rock. Yeah.
It's on a rock.
They're in Pakistan.
And then they end up getting kidnapped by a group of, I guess, how would you describe it?
I don't know, just like political. Like they get kidnapped, yeah, as American hostages.
They become political prisoners.
Yeah, yeah.
But end up having a good time. You see them like gambling with the Pakistanis.
Yeah.
And then eventually being brought back home. And, you know, like you see, like, you know, Gordy's hair's grown out. He's got a beard. Kind of looks like modern day Tom Green, if you've seen what he looks like.
Kind of looks like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, like I said, there's so much that happens in this movie. Like we can't pinpoint everything.
So then they're on the news as like they've released the political, which is like, how did the movie end up here? Everyone's watching on TV. That's when you see the mum with Shaquille O'Neal.
100%.
That's when you see the brother living with all the other children, but the brother's like 25. He's not a child.
It's insane.
And then, yeah. And then does it just sort of end? Then it ends.
It kind of ends. There's two things we need to, I think we should bring up the very least. The first one is there's the running gag where Gordy and his family have neighbors where it's a dad and a son.
Yes.
And the son always ends up getting like accidentally hurt.
Yes.
So for example, like he has a baseball thrown at him and he loses a tooth.
Yeah.
They're in a restaurant, it's his birthday, and like it's like, yeah, it's my birthday, you can have a piece of cake, son. And then Gordy in that same restaurant like turns out to have dinner with his dad after he told him, oh, I got an office computer job. And he's like, oh, you're here just piss fighting around, you're a liar. Then they end up having a fight in the restaurant to which someone throws something and the kid gets hit with that. So it's a great running joke. And then the other thing I think we have to talk about is, I think, the most iconic thing to come out of the movie, and that is, Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Oh, is that the most iconic thing?
Yeah, it's like
I don't even remember that.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So basically, Gordy constructs a pulley system through the roof where he has like a little keyboard.
Yeah.
And he's playing the keyboard.
He's like a puppeteer kind of thing.
Yeah. And like all these strings are attached to sausages on the wall. And so as he's like pressing down on the keyboard, like the sausages are going up in the air and down and up and down. And he starts doing this like, Daddy, would you like some sausage song? And starts talking through the thing. Like, he's a real character. He's a real character. Just saying like absurdist stuff. But yeah, like I said, those are like the two things I feel like I had to highlight, but there's just so much absurdist. This movie is like a burger with the lot, but the ingredients are just what the fuck.
Yeah. And like it's become a cult classic. Like
100%.
Again, at the time it was considered one of the worst films ever made, but it's like in its age, I think people have revisited and been like, oh, actually like there's something more to this. And I agree.
100%.
Because I see like even elements of like Auntie Donna and like,
yes,
you know, I wonder if they've seen this movie. But then one thing I wanted to bring up quickly is I thought some of the music in this movie was really good.
Oh, wasn't it amazing?
There's
it was
a
like
lot of
on
punk.
Par with like a Tony Hawk.
Yeah, there's game. A lot of punk. There's a lot of like the opening song is by the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
And, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Problem or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's Gordy running through. What's he doing?
He's skateboarding through a mall.
Skateboarding
and security's
through the
trying to
center.
Chase him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like that song. Yeah, it's called Problems by the Sex Pistols. And of course, like the Sex Pistols are their whole thing. And this is like interesting to talk about because like the decisions you make in movies about what songs are going to play, like there's always generally thoughts and meaning behind that. The Sex Pistols are an anti-authoritarian, like, you know, two of their biggest songs are God Save the Queen and Anarchy in the UK, right? Mm. They are punk. They like are all about anti-mainstream, anti-establishment, which I feel like starting the movie with that song and having him skateboarding through the mall, like that is such a fantastic description of who he is as a character. Oh,
100%. And also the making of the movie itself.
Yeah, and then exactly, the movie existing, because you would think that, like, people watching this movie who were, like, really, like, mature, snobby movie critics would be like, oh, this movie has so many problems. And then maybe there's an irony in the fact that he's chosen the song Problems. Oh. Almost like he's – I mean, we might be overthinking it, but maybe he's, like, premeditating what people are going to say about the movie. And there's,
100%.
The other thing is, of course, there's I Fought the Law is in it, but then also there is a Green Day song in the movie.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yeah.
It's Blood, Sex, and Booze, which is from their album Warning, which is one of my favorite Green Day albums.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Real Slim Shady is the credits song.
Of course, perfect choice. Yeah, well, like you said, this was absolutely bombed by critics and at the box office. The movie had a $14.3 million budget, and the movie itself only made about $14 million, to which Tom Green says that he doesn't believe the box office reflected the attendance, because at the time there was another comedy out called Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Oh,
and he reckons
what number is that in the Crocodile Dundee?
I didn't even know there was more than two.
Yeah, because I think there's Crocodile Dundee and then Crocodile Dundee 2.
I just know about the first two, yeah.
So then I guess it must be the third one.
Yeah. I thought it was just some straight to DVD thing. But yeah, he reckons a lot of kids like people underage who couldn't see the movie, they snuck in by paying a ticket for that and then sneaking into Freddy Got Fingered.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And the movie itself did end up breaking even. It made over $24 million in DVD.
So what was the budget again? 40?
$14.3 million.
And it grossed 40?
14.
So the budget was 14?
For $14.3 million, box office was $14
million. Oh, so it lost money. It bombed.
100%.
Right, sorry. I thought you said $40 million. So that's not terrible. Like, you wouldn't be unhappy with $25 million.
Oh, sorry. It was the other way around. $14 million budget, $14.3 million box office.
I think that actually makes... Oh, so it did make $3 million, $300,000,
yeah.
Which isn't great.
But no. And to take into account budgeting. Advertising.
There probably is merit in that theory, because like at the end of the day, movies like this,
yeah,
if you're a teenager, of course you want to see this movie. Like,
100%.
This is like,
I've even done that.
Yeah. So you would, but you couldn't, you literally couldn't get in because it's probably R-rated. So yeah, I reckon a lot of people would do that.
100%. And famous film critic Roger Ebert famously gave it a rare zero-star review, calling it one of his most hated films of all time.
Roger Ebert's a wanker. Every time I see...
Rest in peace.
Is he dead?
Yeah, died like 10 years
was
ago.
Was a wanker. every time I see a Wikipedia thing where it's like, Roger Ebert said this, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. You're a wanker. What do you like, mate? Like, is there anything you enjoy?
Anyway, well, he was an alcoholic, so probably alcohol.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, he said, this movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't even the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't below the bottom of a barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels.
Yeah.
To which there was definitely a lot of like over hate and, you know, criticism at the time. But
yeah,
the movie's obviously gone on to be a bit of a cult classic. Actually, very recently in 2024, the Criterion Channel, the company responsible for the Criterion Collection, which is like they put out DVDs and Blu-ray releases of like, you know, mostly like avant-garde, like, or like cult classic movies. They have a streaming service similar to Mubi, where they like have handpicked films, and they put Freddy Got Fingered in recently as part of a like cult classics collection, to which for years, a lot of people have been like joking of like, oh, put Freddy Got Fingered in the Criterion Collection.
Mm.
And like, finally it's been recognized.
But I think this is a great example of a movie that's just a little bit left of center. It's just a little bit not what mainstream people would expect. And then because of that, people don't get it. And then they're like, oh, this is weird. And then it finds a new audience through DVD.
Oh, 100%.
Like, was there ever a sequel or follow-up to this?
There was never a sequel or follow-up. Tom Green has gone on to do a bunch of miscellaneous stuff since then. Obviously, this was about the peak of his career. Like, after that, he actually ended up being on the Celebrity Apprentice and got fired by Donald Trump.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dead set. And he's done a couple of like online stuff. He actually had a web show. So the Tom Green went from MTV to like web show. A lot of people used to like call in and just troll him.
Mm.
But it was very similar to like a public access style show. And like, honestly, right, like reflecting on that type of absurdist humor, I actually have a bunch of trivia here I was prepared to read. And there's one I will definitely read. But in just, I guess, a short-term reflection, sorry, a long-term reflection on the impact of this movie, right? Mm. So a month ago, I saw Eric Andre live doing a comedy show. And if you're unaware, Eric Andre is another very absurdist comedian.
From Tim and Eric?
The Eric Andre Show on Adult Swim.
He's not the Eric from Tim and Eric.
No.
Oh, sorry.
He's not the Tim and Eric. My bad. But yeah, same network. And
same name.
Yeah, Eric. Very true. And like, I love Eric Andre. His humor is very similar. He actually had Tom Green on an episode of the Eric Andre Show. Like, you know, Tom Green absolutely paved the way for people like him. And when I was in the audience and I was watching like his show, and there was such crazy shit, like Eric brought people on stage. He had them chug like 10 beers and then ranch and mayonnaise and then had them like shave their whole head. Yuck. When I was in the audience, right, I was just thinking, fuck, if Tom Green was just like, if he was around the same time as Eric Andre, these people would have loved him. Like, I guarantee, like, 9 out of 10, like, people in the crowd, they would fucking love that movie, you know? And I think it's just, like, obviously, I love to ironically, like, oh my God, best movie ever. But I genuinely think Tom Green is just such a excellent comedian. Like, yes, obviously, a lot of his stuff is just absurd and for the sake of, you know, being, not controversial, but, you know, out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's such a great artistry and also just an incredible achievement to really be able to make like a piss take of a movie. And like, just from like the background alone, I genuinely think this is one of the greatest comedies ever made.
I really enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. And like, I had no idea what to expect, but I thought it was really good.
Oh, 100%. And one last bit of trivia for you, Michael.
Yeah.
And another great testament to how much I love Tom Green. So, in 2016, an American man was on his way to drop his daughter off at school when a policeman pulled him over for a busted taillight. Oh. And as the police officer was processing him and going through his records, he actually went up to him and said, oh, hey, you've actually got a warrant for failing to return a VHS tape called Freddy Got Fingered in 2002. And the guy was like, oh, like a warrant? And And so the police officer allowed him to drop off his daughter, but then said, like, just please come to the station afterwards. And he actually got arrested.
For not returning a VHS.
Yeah. Oh. And mind you, this was 2016. That was the time where Netflix was taking over, Blockbuster was dead. So that video store had since closed down. Oh. So couldn't even return it if he wanted to. To which, upon hearing this, Tom Green actually called him on the phone and said, I will pay for all your legal fees.
Oh, wow.
To which it didn't really matter because the whole case was dropped. But
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's been another edition of Movie Club. So much fun. Next month on the show, what are we doing? It's Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler.
Oh.
It's supposed to be really good. I've always wanted to watch it. And good thing, it's about 90 minutes. Similar to this, 90 minutes really works, doesn't
it? Perfect. From one silly comedian to another.
Yeah, but I don't think it's silly. I think this is like one of the serious Sandler movies. But we will discuss all next week on Pat and Mike's Movie Club. And cut.
Mikey, would you like some sausage? Mikey, would you like some sausages? Sausages.
This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.